Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're talking Penn State football, looking ahead just a little bit of work to be done on the 2019 recruiting front before the second National Signing Day. So we'll check in on where Penn State's at with their targets, the space that's left, how transfers could impact space and those types of things. We're going to go down through, rank the losses we're expecting on the transfer front from least impactful to most impactful, and kind of weigh in on what that means for Penn State's depth in 2019. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic will join us a little bit later to really go down through the transfers, what surprised her so far, what hasn't, and get her thoughts on Penn State's recruiting efforts in 2019 as well. And we'll close things up with Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions for Greg Pickle here. But for starters, let's look at where Penn State's at in the 2019 recruiting class. They got a commitment from Devon Ellis over the weekend. I say got a commitment. He has been signed since December at Illinois.
One of those ones that every time you say it or write it, you have to
give the full story. He committed, signed in December, was able to keep that commitment silent until he announced at the Polynesian Bowl over the weekend. Smith Vilbert, a 6'6", 250-pound defensive end, also committed a couple days before that. So two big gets on the defensive line. Greg, answers a lot of questions, I think, about what's going on with this class, is that was the missing piece. You have this class that had been ranked in the top 10 nationally by really all metrics, but if you look at, you know, on a per-player basis, it's one of the top five classes in the country. The only thing that was really missing was the big guys in the trenches, and now they had two of them in one swoop.
Yeah, two very solid players as well. Ellie's a little bit higher rated than Vilbert, who really, I think, it would have been great to know what his ceiling would have been rankings-wise if he was a football player for 4 years of high school, but he was mostly a basketball player and then sort of changed his focus late in the game. Obviously, it worked out very well because schools came flocking in force to try and land him late. Penn State's able to steal the deal. They'll sign him in February. Then with Ellis, we thought there was suspense leading into his Polynesian Bowl announcement, but as it turns out, Penn State had long had that signed, sealed, and delivered. And it's worth noting at this juncture that when you worry about signing space and scholarship space and all that, it always works itself out in the end. And that was the case here. Penn State knew it was going to be able to sign some more guys. It also knew before the bowl game that it was going to be losing a fair amount of guides, which it has and or will. So it all works out in the end. It always does.
I'm curious what you think, and I never really got your thoughts on all these transfers. And I think the way that it's being interpreted in a lot of situations is that this is a troublesome situation for Penn State. Guys are flocking, you know, they're leaving in waves. There's something bigger going on here. Mm-hmm. What if the scenario is, and we don't know the context of this just yet, what if the scenario is where James Franklin has to have tough conversations with everybody every offseason right after the bowl game? Maybe he had tougher than usual conversations with more guys this time around, maybe with this in mind, because James Franklin is not really caught off guard by anything.
Right.
And so the way that he was managing this transfer situation, which I'm positive he was able to anticipate mm-hmm. what the kind of ripple effect would be of it, I don't think any of this really is coming as a big surprise to him. So the question is, what's he got planned?
Right.
Because right now it's all the traffic is going one direction. There's not traffic going in another direction. So I'm curious what the next few weeks, what the next few months have in store, whether it's transfers or whether it's additional room in the recruiting class or what he's going to do to combat this numbers issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think that He's rarely caught off guard, but sometimes I think guys see the writing on the wall, and there's no way of controlling. Like, I agree with you. Some guys probably, I mean, they have end-of-year meetings with everybody, and I'm sure some guys were told that, you know, your playing time is probably not what you want it to be last year, and it probably isn't going to be what you want it to be next year. So, you know, here's the brutal, honest truth, and, you know, we hope you stay, but if you decide that that means you want to look around and play elsewhere, you know, we'll support your decision to do so. And even if they don't support it, they don't have a choice with the new transfer portal. So right. That's the one way the NCAA changed things. So at any rate, you know, there's no way of controlling how many guys might suddenly feel that way and want to move on. I think you can probably, I would say at this point, you can probably almost guarantee that if a guy is not playing much and he graduates, what do you think? 8 out of 10 will transfer after they graduate if they're not playing much and they already have their degree. I'd say it's probably 8 out of 10. So, Pensy's going to have to start incorporating that moving forward and start looking for replacement graduate transfers to bring in to, you know, in the spot of some of these guys that they're losing.
How about the idea that James Franklin's initiative is to graduate guys in 3.5 years. So they're set up to potentially leave early for the draft with their diplomas. And now with the fewer restrictions for transfers, now it almost – that plan almost works against him, right? You have these guys who have a lot of transfer options because they've already got their degrees, their grad transfers. They don't have to consider that. And I don't think his plan changes, but I think when that was really important to him, this transfer development obviously hadn't come along yet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's at this point, I just think that the most interesting thing to watch this offseason will be what Penn State does and what it tells us about what they'll do moving forward. You know, if they stand pat and maybe only add one grad transfer or none, I don't necessarily think that'll be the way things always go every offseason. I think it'll be very fluid and very cyclical, and they'll be at a point soon where I don't know if 2 or 3 is too many to think might be the average of guys they could bring in each year, because you just can't keep losing guys. I mean, there's just no way around it. If you're going to lose 5 guys in offseason to grad transfers because they're not playing, you got to replace them somehow, or you're going to never – you're just going to be like a hamster wheel, and you're never going to get caught up on the race back to 85 scholarships.
And, I mean, that's where it's interesting how much – Penn State might have not pushed this, but how much – whether house cleaning was kind of an initiative on Penn State's side. Like, that's the other side of the story we don't really discuss that much, is how willingly Penn State is seeing these guys go. And it's no disrespect to the guys, but it's like it's maybe a little bit of designed roster turnover. But I think you're in a bad situation anytime you go into an offseason saying, I need X number of transfers in, because now you're not really evaluating the players. You're trying to manage that number, and you just don't want to be in that position.
Right.
It's going to be a fascinating time, because we don't get the individualized stories about where other programs are when it comes to transfers, but I can't imagine another program out there with more transfer losses than Penn State.
I would say Penn State has to be top three. I mean, that's the one thing that's hard about this, because it wasn't supposed to be made public. It's not like we can just load up the NCAA's website and say, okay, sort by most. It doesn't work that way. Right. So we're only getting – and, you know, the one argument I keep hearing from people is, well, Nick Saban must have a bunch of guys leaving. Well, no, I don't think that they do, because most of those guys – came to Alabama knowing what they were playing for. Here's the problem with Penn State. You know what you're playing for, but if you don't get there, right, and they haven't, obviously this past year they did not make a New Year's Six Bowl, nor the playoff, nor the Big Ten title game, and you're not playing, you know, if you go to Alabama, you're not playing, you still can be a part of a national championship team. And the other thing is, transferring stuff, it's not easy. I mean, you know, it's not this simple, well, let's go somewhere else because I can be more successful. Well, that's fine, but you're talking about uprooting your life and moving, you know, to a place you probably have never lived before. And it's not just this, you know, magic wand that I think a lot of people would want to make it out to be. So, you know, you put all those things together, and I just think Penn State's at a point now, too, where no disrespect to the guys that are leaving, but Penn State recruited over those guys. And when you have guys that are recruited over, that means they're going to be jumped over on a depth chart in most cases too. And because of that, Penn State's now in a place where, you know, you're going to have guys looking for better opportunities to get on the field.
It's the K Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com, the best single game RV value in Happy Valley. Check out what they have to offer at GoPSURV.com. Awesome RVs, the tailgating scene, projection TV, Wi-Fi, everything you could need for a tailgate weekend is there. Learn more at GoPSURV.com. Let's talk about the targets and what work is left to do in the 2019 recruiting class, because they're at a combination of 20 commits / signees, 19 signees, one commit. Mm-hmm. You figure they have a max of five more. There is the option of backdating the January enrollees, the 18 class. There can be some smudging in the numbers. I know you don't believe that that's going to be in Penn State's initiative. So you have, you know, really, I think three names above all other names to watch for. One's Doug Nestor, the offensive lineman who's committed to Ohio State, who Ohio State is having to re-recruit him. There's a possibility for Penn State to kind of push and get that, get him to flip. Nick Cross, the four-star safety from DeMatha Catholic, who's committed to Florida State, who's going to take a Penn State visit as well. Jared Harrison Hunt, who is a really pretty dynamic defensive tackle from New Jersey? I don't have it in front of me. Who it looks like Miami is swooping in there. So those three names, you know, the prioritization of Jared Harrison Hunt, it changes a little bit when you get a commitment from Devon Ellis and you get a commitment from Smith Vilbert. That defensive line position isn't necessarily crossed off Penn State's list, but the urgency has been downplayed a little bit. What's your take on these three guys?
Yeah, I mean, to me at this point, Jared Harrison Hunt is going elsewhere. I think we said this last week, but it reminds you a lot of Ja'Kai Moore's recruitment, where everyone thought the three-star offensive lineman from Virginia was going to go to Penn State, and then opportunity kept coming and missing and coming and missing and coming and missing and coming and missing for him to commit to Penn State. And it finally got to the point where you just said to yourself, something's not quite right here. He's looking for something that he apparently can't find. So for that reason, he ended up at South Carolina. I think Harrison Hunty's in the same boat. You know, I think of the guys left on Penn State's board, I'd probably make Nick Cross, the safety from Maryland, committed to Florida State, number one. Doug Nestor would be right behind him, number two. And then after that, it's a good question. Probably have to do a little bit of thinking on it. But, you know, obviously if they can find another receiver, that would be a plus. We've mentioned before Lawrence Cage or the Miami grad transfer. TJ Jones is the guy down in Florida that the Lions are looking at. So probably go with those guys next and then maybe move on down the list from there. But interesting time for Penn State. They have about they don't really have that much time left to go out and fill spots, but they'll try to do the best they can here over the next couple of weeks.
We'll start to learn a little bit more about what all these transfers mean and what it's going to mean, particularly the 2019 and 2020 recruiting as we approach National Signing Day. For now, we're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to take a little closer look at all those transfers in just a minute. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.